Hi, this is Natalie Lucier, and welcome to Expand Your Reach and Get More Subscribers. This is Module 2, all about traffic and getting people back to your website. Here's what you're going to learn in today's training. We're going to talk about which traffic strategies to focus on for you in your business and your market, and then how to implement them. We'll also go over the biggest mistake people make when they're trying to gain exposure to a new audience. It's kind of painful once you know what it is. Then we'll go over step-by-step strategies for getting more exposure so you're not just stuck in, okay, great, but how do I actually do it? So here are a number of different strategies and ways to get people back to your website to get traffic. I'm going to go over each of these one by one, and then we'll go over to the step-by-steps. So the first one I'm going to talk about is guest posting. If you don't know what guest posting is, it's basically writing quality content that you're going to approach another blog and have them post for you. And the idea is that you'll have a link back to your site so that you'll drive traffic back to your online hub, which is your website. And the idea is also that when you write for a bigger website and you time it right, you can actually get hundreds and thousands of new visitors and subscribers. The idea is also to reverse engineer the content of your posts so that people naturally want to join your list. So when it comes to guest posting, you already have a list that we did in the research module. So now I'm going to tell you how to actually do it. And first, we're going to go over the painful mistake that I see a lot of people make. So no matter whether you're doing a guest post or you're getting press or you have other opportunities to drive traffic to your website, I really want you to focus in on what your call to action is. So I have to admit, I'm not perfect myself. I make this mistake every now and then. But here's the thing, having a really strong call to action to get people back to your website can mean the difference between just a couple of subscribers to hundreds or even thousands of subscribers. So the first thing I want to talk about is that your call to action needs to match what your opt-in offer is going to be. So we're going to be talking about the offer in the next module, but you really, really want to think about what you're telling people to expect when they get to your website. So the other thing is to not divert the attention. When somebody has too many options, they tend to not take action at all. So if I were to say, do you want an apple or an orange? It's fairly clear what you want. But if I were to say, do you want pineapple, bananas, apples, oranges, grapes? You know, there's just too many options and people are probably just going to say, I'm okay, thanks, maybe later. So what you really want to do is you really want to give them either two options or just one option. And when it comes to building your list, I think one option is absolutely the way to go because building your list is one of the key metrics for your business's growth and success. So you also want to tell them what they can expect when they get to your site. So if you say, you know, come to my website for, you know, pictures of puppies and they get there and it's actually, you know, accounting stuff, then they might be like, okay, wait, I got tricked and this is confusing and they're not going to opt in. So obviously you don't want to trick people. You don't want to, you know, offer something that you're not actually offering. So that's the first thing. And then also making it super, super easy for them to do what you tell them. So sometimes we're like, oh, they'll figure it out. They'll know to click on this link. They'll know to come back to my website. But unless you actually tell them and ask them what you want them to do, for example, using words like click here, sign up for my list, join the list, you know, opt in to my list. Like those are all very specific, detailed, step-by-step things that you want people to do. And people really do need that almost hand-holding to really make them take action. Otherwise, they're just off to the next thing, hitting their back button, you know, so you really have to have that thought when you're creating all of the content that you're creating. Okay, so you might be like, okay, whatever, like this call to action thing, I get it, but really it's not going to make that big of a difference. But here's proof. So this is my friend Selena Sue, and I'm using her as an example because it's just such a stark contrast. So she had a guest post, actually she had two different guest posts go up on a website called Positively Positive. And we're going to compare the bios that she used. So in the first post where she got 10 new subscribers, she had this little bio here, and this is kind of what it had. It talked about her and her business and kind of she graduated from NYU and all these different things. And it also talked about For more on Selena, visit her website or connect with her on Facebook or Twitter. So this got her 10 new subscribers. Then she wrote another post where she really honed in on what she wanted people to do, and she kind of rejigged her bio a little bit. And instead of just, come to my website, follow me on Twitter and Facebook, she basically said one link that says, join Selena's newsletter for weekly inspiration and tips to improve your business and life. So this bio resulted in 150 new subscribers. Now you might be like, okay, well maybe one article got shared more or had more visitors, and that could be true, but I really think that this bio is the linchpin and the reason why people opted in. The other part of the equation is that she sent people to a specific page, which is this opt-in page here. So she didn't just send them to her main website. She sent them to a page where they can specifically opt in. And that's the whole part and the whole focus of this page. And you'll see it really walks them through why they want to opt in. And we're going to be talking about this offer in the next module, but this is really the idea here, is that having that really strong call to action, you're not diverting the attention, you're not letting people get confused, and you're telling them exactly what you want them to do, to join the newsletter. And that will make, like as you can see here, more than 10 times of a difference. Okay, so now we're going to dive into the next traffic getting strategy. So the next one is SEO, search engine optimization. What's great about that is that they're actively looking. So it's not like they're just browsing on social media. They're actually, have their eyes open and are looking for a provider or a solution to a problem. So as you know, SEO is a pretty complex topic, and I have a whole course unto itself called Simple SEO. So if you don't have that yet, definitely check that out, because it really goes into search engine optimization and why you would want to do it. So the other thing that kind of dovetails nicely with guest posting is that generally doing guest posts helps your search engine optimization, because it also builds links back to your website and also gives it more authority in the search engines. So the trick that I like to recommend for SEO is that we all try to go for these really big keywords like weight loss, accountant in New York, or whatever it is for you. But you can actually focus in on a lot more specific topics or problems that people might be searching for. So maybe they're searching for, how to stop bloating, or, why do I have indigestion at night? Those are really, really specific things that people who are trying to lose weight may need, or people who might not even be thinking about losing weight, but who have issues with digestion might really need. And then similarly for an accounting example, you might consider doing, how to file taxes in New York for an online business. So that's super, super specific. Or, how to save money on your taxes when you're filing X, Y, and Z. Those are specific topics. And what you want to do is create as many of these specific articles and doorways into your main website and into your business, so that people who are looking for solutions can find them. And then once they see that you have the whole package and you can actually do stuff for them, they're a lot more likely to join your list or hire you. Okay, next we have partnerships. So joint ventures and webinars are some of the most effective ways of growing your list, because you're basically tapping into someone else's list and they've done a lot of work to build their list, and you're also getting endorsed at the exact same time. So it's not like you're just cold emailing somebody or anything like that. You're actually getting someone to vouch for you and to vouch for the quality of your work and what you have to offer. What's important when it comes to partnerships is that you really want to decide ahead of time who gets the leads or what email system you'll be using to collect email addresses. So if you're doing a joint webinar and you have a system, so if one of you has the webinar account, then you'll probably be using that person's account. But you have to also agree ahead of time if you're going to be sharing those email addresses with each other. And you also have to agree ahead of time, who kind of owns that list. So who's going to be the main person to communicate with that new list? And what I recommend is, as much as possible, try to be the one who has access to that list, or have it in writing that you're going to be sharing the list, so that there's no confusion after the time comes. So when it comes to building relationships to turn into partnerships, I really think it's important to just build genuine relationships with people way in advance of ever wanting to do a promotion or a joint venture together. The idea is that give, get, is way better than asking the first time you meet someone. So think about it in terms of building that relationship. What's in it for them and what's in it for their audience? So if you are going to be doing a webinar or a joint venture or like cross promotion, you have to think about what you're going to be giving them. So whether it's, you know, a commission on a product that you're selling together, or it's, you know, you could also just pay them a fee. You could also create something specifically for their audience that's targeted. There's all kinds of different things. And you have to also think just outside of the money realm, whether you have stats that can prove that what you're going to be offering is going to work well for their audience, so that if they feel comfortable promoting what you have to offer. And that makes a big difference and goes a long way. And if you're brand new, if you're just getting started and you haven't sold your product yet, then I don't necessarily recommend getting partners, because partners will just be a little bit more skittish and wary of working with you unless they know that you have a proven track record and you can basically, you know, have testimonials or, you know, good press or whatever it is that you need to show them that people actually love your work and are happy to pay for it. So now we're diving into social media. Social media, again, is a huge topic, but it's all about getting other people to talk about you and share your content. And it's easy to have people share your stuff when you have plugins on your website to share it, when you ask at the end of your articles to share it. So, you know, your call to action on each of your blog posts or videos can be to tell people to share it with their friends. Have a click to tweet where people can easily click and share your content. That goes a long way. Making it easy for them is really just the way to get it kickstarted. And then, of course, if they love your stuff, you're creating great content, that's just going to help it spread even further. So the idea with social media is that if you're building your own profiles, if you have your own Twitter and Facebook page and all those things, you want to use those to kind of reach new people, but also to bring people back to your website, because your website is your hub and you can't be shy and forget to remind people about your email list. So what I recommend is scheduling at least once a week, just like a tweet or Facebook message that reminds people to join your list if they haven't done so already. And another thing here is that on your website, you want your email list to be the priority. So I wouldn't put your social media profiles above your email list on your website. And even sometimes I like to have social media profiles on my site, because sometimes people are just trying to get in touch with me through social media, but I would actually kind of downplay those and upplay your email newsletter sign up. Another really cool thing that I love about social media is that you can join groups and forums, and they can be super targeted. So you can start talking about things that people are immediately in need of. So I recommend joining these groups and just hanging out and giving great advice and just building up your reputation in that group. And when the time is right, you can then talk about your offer. So whether that means your offer to join your email list, your offer to buy a product or take a service with you, whatever it is that you're actually promoting. But I really think you need to, again, be a giver first and build those relationships and that trust when you're in groups and forums, because not everyone's going to know you, and you really want to kind of prove that you know your stuff before you ever start promoting anything. Press is a lot like guest posting. So that means you really have to go after it, and it doesn't just show up out of the blue, at least most of the time. So press to me has always been about finding where you want to be featured and then approaching either a writer or somebody who has access to that content and can actually put you through to be featured on those sites. So for me, press can also mean being on a web show or being interviewed, and in those cases, you can usually just reach out a lot like a guest post and make those happen. Again, similar to having a call to action at the end of your blog post, it's important to mention the domain of your site when you're being interviewed. Another thing you can do is buy a domain name that's specific for your opt-in page or your landing page or squeeze page, So for example, I have gettechienow.com, which I usually mention when I'm being interviewed because my name is a little bit complicated. So if you have a domain that's not super straightforward, this is a great way to get around it and also to send people directly to your email newsletter, which is really, really good. So syndication is something that can happen through different channels, and you'll have to find the channels that are right for your industry. But the idea is that you can basically leverage content so that it can be posted in many different outlets on the internet. So I'm part of something called the YEC, the Young Entrepreneurs Council, and it basically acts as a syndication platform. So if I have a blog post that I think is appropriate for a lot of different entrepreneurs, I will post it through the YEC, and then they'll syndicate it on places like Yahoo Business, MSN, and all kind of different places on the web. Now, in the next little while, I'll show you some other places where you can syndicate your blog as well, and we'll talk more about that. Okay, content channel. So this is a really exciting one for me, and I feel like more and more people are starting to wake up to this potential. So the idea is that websites like YouTube and iTunes and Amazon and even Blog Talk Radio, they're all channels that you can basically take your content and push it out to more people. So usually online, we're in a little bubble, we kind of hang out in the same groups of people, either if it's with our peers or it's with people who have similar values and interests. But I feel like these different content channels allow you to kind of burst that bubble and tap into a completely different audience that you wouldn't get to usually. So people who are listening to iTunes podcasts might not even read blogs. People who are watching YouTube videos might never have heard of a lot of the people that you know and hang out with online. And certainly people who are buying Amazon Kindle books probably don't necessarily hang out in the same place online either. But it's a great way to tap into a lot of these different markets. And you also have to think about it in terms of users of iPads and Kindles and all these things, because there are so many new people who are getting tablets and they're looking for content, and they might not necessarily be spending a ton of time on their desktop computer looking for blogs or looking for you specifically. But if they're looking to consume content on the go, whether it's commuting or on vacation, then they're going to be looking online through iTunes and YouTube and Amazon to find content to kind of fill their days and their time. And that's why tapping into these platforms that are huge and have a ton of users really helps you find new people and can really grow your audience, especially if you have a strong call to action back to your website. Okay, so you might be like, offline, that's not going to help me grow my traffic. Well, there are a couple different ways that you can use the offline or real world to actually grow your traffic and get more subscribers. So first, there's networking events. There's like speaking on panels, speaking at events, workshops, chamber of commerce type things, and even attending conferences. So this is basically the power of people coming together. Usually, you'll actually meet potential partners and JVs and webinar partners that you'll become friends with, and you just don't get that online, or at least not to the same level. So most of the time, I have been able to do partnerships with people because I've met them in person, and I get interviewed and I get all of these great opportunities because I met people at a conference. You also have to think about the people who are going to these conferences tend to be of a certain caliber or have a certain amount of experience, and they probably have a bigger list. And it's also much easier to meet people at these conferences if it's a higher price point or if you have to travel. It kind of has like a filtering effect, and it really puts you in touch with kind of action takers and people who are really up to big things. So sometimes I like to tell people, if you don't have any marketing budget or you have, say, $100 a month that you could spend on ads or anything to kind of grow your business, I would actually keep all of that money and then spend it to go to a conference that either is in your industry or kind of in the online world, so that you can connect with other people who can really help you grow your list that way. So for in terms of speaking, you can also grow your list, and I definitely did this in the beginning by holding free talks in different places locally. So what I did is I had a printed sheet of paper, and then every time I gave a talk, I would have people opt into my list. So now you can use an iPad app, or you can have something where people can just opt in directly when they're going through the door. But you know, pen and paper still works great. So you basically have them put their name, their email, and then when you get home, you just type those up, or you know, have a little helper nearby help you type those up into your email marketing system. And then you just, you know, explain how you got that list. So you basically tell people, tell the company that these people opted in person while they were at your live talk. And just like we're going to be talking about in the next module about offering something in exchange for that name and email, you want to make sure that you have a really cool offer. Don't just say, join my list. Actually tell them what they're going to get when they join your email list. Another thing is that, in my opinion, business cards in live events don't tend to work very well. And I also don't recommend adding people to your list if they give you their business card. It's kind of bad form. But you know, you can definitely follow up with people. And I would say that these, again, can be more of a partnership and not necessarily, you know, people who could join your list, because they tend to be slightly different from your target market. So my perspective on traffic is that you can either spend time or money to get it. So when you're spending time, you're using free strategies like the ones that I've talked about so far. And you know, those are awesome ways to build your list. They do tend to take a little bit more time to build up to, or you can spend money. If you don't have a lot of time, but you do have the money, then you can just get people to go to your website by paying for ads. And it's definitely a trade-off. You can really see which one makes most sense for you. But those are kind of the two ways of getting traffic. And that's really where advertising comes in. So if you do have the money, but you don't have the time, then you can consider places like Google AdWords, Facebook ads, newsletter buys, promoted posts, or ad spots on targeted sites and blogs. So you probably know a little bit about Google AdWords and Facebook ads. They're kind of the two biggest players right now when it comes to advertising online. So the idea is basically that you want to be there when people are looking for a specific thing on Google AdWords. It's a lot like search engine optimization, except that you're paying for placement. So if people are searching for dog grooming, for example, then you would want to have an ad that talks about dog grooming. For Facebook, it's a slightly different market. So people are actually browsing, they're trying to be social. So the ads have to be targeted to what they enjoy, what they like. And the benefit of using Facebook is that you can actually target a lot more than you can on AdWords. So AdWords are very keyword specific, whereas Facebook is more, you know, demographics and what their interests are. So it's a little bit different. You can reach different types of people, but they both have their place. Newsletter buys are basically tapping into someone else's existing list. So there are some people who have lists that run either solo emails that you can purchase. It's just like advertising on a website, except that they'll send an email about you and they'll link back to your site. There's also places where you can buy just like a part of an email, kind of like in a magazine where you'd buy like a half a page ad, except that it's going out to an email list of X number of people. So you can also buy promoted posts or ad spots on targeted websites, and you'll have to do a little research on the blogs and the sites that you're considering to find out if they're really a good fit and how much traffic they have, and really if they're targeted to who you want to bring back to your site. So in my opinion, when it comes to advertising, the more targeted and specific you can be, the better results you'll get. So if you're trying to advertise to anybody and everybody, it's not going to work well, and you're going to end up wasting a lot more money. Okay, so now I want to help you figure out of all of these different strategies, which one you should be focusing on. So there are some of these that I think everyone can benefit from, and then there are others that I don't think work for certain types of businesses and markets. So for example, SEO is great for a lot of businesses. In fact, it's probably one of the ones that I think most businesses can benefit from. The issue happens when the type of business that you have is not very concrete or very specific. So if you have more of an aspirational type of business and you don't solve super specific problems, then it's not ideal. So take, for example, life coaching or kind of retreats or something that's not necessarily something people search for, then SEO is not really ideal. So if you can't really describe one of the things that you do or a problem that you solve, then I wouldn't recommend focusing on SEO. If you have things that are super specific, and then I definitely recommend looking at your competitors to find out if they're using SEO and if they have super specific articles on their site, that will give you an idea of whether you should be doing it or not and if it's working for them. So guest posting is another one that I think pretty much every business can benefit from. The only thing is that you'll have to find the right sites, but again, that's part of the research and that'll make a big difference. But I think that guest posting is absolutely one of the best ways to grow your list and to get in front of new people and get outside of the bubble that you might be in right now. Partnerships is also another one that I think pretty much everyone and every business can really benefit from. The idea here is to kind of partner with people who are not direct competitors or who have more of a complementary fit with you and your business. Social media, I also think that not necessarily everyone can benefit from social media. It depends on how much time you have and also what your business is about. So if you have something that people are kind of ashamed of talking about, or it's not something that they really want to share with other people, then this is not quite the best route for you. So, you know, take for example, a product like incontinence diapers or something like that. Like I can just imagine that not a ton of people are going to share your articles about that topic. So, you know, that's also something to consider. Is this something that people would actually share and talk about for you? Next, we have press and syndication. I really do think that press is something obviously most businesses can benefit from. But again, sometimes press and syndication are things that you can spend a lot of time working on but not get as many results from. So I have had clients who were featured on morning shows or news shows, and you know, we expected a slew of traffic, but you know, there were like 10 people who came back from after watching that show. So it's also something to consider. It's great to have on your website for social proof, but it doesn't always directly lead to new subscribers and clients. Syndication, very similar. It's not a silver bullet. It's really not something that's going to make or break your business, but it's great if you have time to kind of get that in place. Content channels. Okay, so content channels is something that I think every single business can definitely benefit from, just because people are getting content from such different places these days. They're not just going on the web. They're going on their iPads and their iPods and their Kindles, and they're just consuming content in a different way than they used to. So I think that's why content channels are absolutely a must. And if you don't have the resources, if you don't have time to do videos and audio and Kindle books, that's okay. As long as you kind of have that in the back of your head as something that you want to do eventually, I think that's great. Offline. So I think most businesses can definitely benefit from doing offline things. It's just a matter of figuring out if your geography works for it, if you have time and money and resources to travel to conferences, and it's just about figuring out how much of it you want to put into your marketing mix. Then we have advertising. So advertising is a lot like what I talked about, whether you want to have, you know, spend your time on strategies or you want to spend your money on strategies to get more traffic. So advertising, look at your budget, figure out if it's going to work or not in terms of what you want to achieve and the goals that you want to set for yourself. Definitely advertising will work for pretty much every industry. So it's just a matter of figuring out who your target is so that when you do advertise, you're spending your money wisely and not overdoing it. Now let's look at some step-by-steps. So let's talk about guest posting first. So once you have those potential topics in mind and you've done your research and you kind of understand what the blog is all about, who their audience is, and what kind of content they like to post, it's time for you to draft a couple of post titles and then write yourself a little outline so that you can know you can write that content if your post is selected. Next, I would email the website owner, and sometimes they have an editorial team, so you'd email them with your ideas, and then if you don't hear back, make sure to have a plan to follow up within a week or two. And then if you get the green light, you write the post, you edit it, you write your bio, and you attach a photo, and then you send it to them. The next step is that once your post goes live, you want to be there for the published date so they can share it on social media, you can link to it from your website, you can answer questions in the comment, and basically just kind of be there to support the post so that it does get a lot of good feedback. So now I'm going to show you an example of how to ask to be a guest poster. This is one of the most common questions. So here's just an example of something I have sent out to get a guest post, and my guest post got accepted. So you basically say, you know, hi, you know, blog owner, obviously use their real name. I've been reading your blog for a while, and I was really excited when I got the idea for this article. It just seemed like such a good fit, and I hope you'll agree. I followed all the instructions on the site, but please let me know if there's anything else you need from me. I look forward to promoting the article to my own social media folks in the 5,000 plus followers range. So in this case, I had already written the blog post itself and attached it because that was the way that this particular website accepted guest posts. They just wanted to have the post pre-written with a picture and with, you know, the headline, the bio, everything already done. So perfect, sent it off, got back an email that night, and it got posted about a month later. So that's another thing to keep in mind, is that sometimes these websites have a lot of content planned ahead of time in their editorial calendar. So don't wait till the last minute if you want to do a guest post blitz and try to get all these guest posts go live at the same time. You want to send them out ahead of time so that they have time to schedule them out. And you know, if you do have a date that you want them to publish it on, you can let them know and see if that's a good fit for them. Okay, step-by-step partnerships. So my warning is that people will sniff you out a mile away if you're trying to build a relationship just to promote. So connect with people that you get along with as friends. Don't go for the people who have the biggest lists or the people who have, you know, the best success stories, because the thing is, everybody is growing all the time. And if you make friends with quote unquote the less known people who don't yet have a ton of success, you know, they're going to grow along with you and you can help each other grow together. So what I want you to do is actually make a list of people who would make great strategic partners, whether they're, you know, A-listers, B-listers, however you want to categorize it, just have that big list so that you can kind of see opportunities to connect with those people. So you can reach out either using email or Skype or in person, you know, if you go to conferences, and then really just build that genuine relationship with them and focus on what you can do for them. So one of the ways to do that is to actually buy someone's product or services so you can really get on their radar. And that way you can really show them that you're taking action on what they're offering and their advice. So sometimes people are just so busy, they don't have time to connect with everybody who wants to connect with them. And that's one of the few ways that you can do to really set yourself apart from everybody else. So another kind of key thing to keep in mind is that partnering doesn't always mean building a product together or, you know, really joining businesses completely. It can also mean just being interviewed by each other, doing a webinar, doing a guest post on each other's sites. You know, you can kind of be open to the possibilities when you're creating these partnerships to promoting each other in whatever way organically comes about so that you're not, you know, trying to force things that don't quite fit for each other. So here is, you know, a very simple sequence that I put together that I might use to get in touch with someone. So, hi, Naim, I've been reading your blog and watching you on social media for a while now, and I'm really impressed with what you have going on. Your post about XYZ really spoke to me, and I've been able to ABC since. So thank you for that. Just wanted to let you know you're on my radar and I love what you're up to. Quick, succinct, you know, it kind of just tells them that you're there and that you're kind of watching them. It doesn't really need to go further than that. You're just kind of introducing yourself and saying thanks. Next, I have a little bit of a follow-up. So, hey, I saw this article, immediately thought of you. Hope you're rocking it. Looking forward to getting to know you better and seeing how I can support you and your goals. What's the next big thing you're working on? So this may or may not work depending on who it is. And I totally encourage you to just take these as an example of what to do and definitely not copy or model completely what I'm doing here. These are kind of just an idea to kind of get you started. And then what I recommend is taking it off email. So if you've been emailing with someone for a little while, I recommend scheduling a Skype call or phone call so you can take it off the impersonal mode of communication that email really is. So, hi, Naim, I've been thinking about you a lot lately, and I think there might be a way for us to support each other's business growth. So I'd love to host you and have you do a webinar for my email list. I have X number of subscribers now, growing every day. Or if you prefer, we can do more of an interview style. I really want to introduce you to my people. Would you be available for a quick quick Skype chat about this. So that's one way. Another way might be to say, hey, I would love to do an interview for your list. Here are the stats for my webinars. Here's what you can kind of expect from promoting me to your people. So there's kind of two takes. I like this one because then you're actually giving them an opportunity to be promoted to your list first before you ask for anything in return. So here are a couple of steps for social media. So I recommend just curating great content and sharing your own stuff, and then sprinkling links to your email sign up on your social media sites. So social media to me is really a way to reach out to new people and then to kind of bring them back to your website and your hub. So another thing about social media is that it can be a time suck. So you've probably felt like you could spend hours a day on Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and all these sites. But here's what I recommend to kind of filter out your active time on social media. So I only recommend going on social media if you plan to be active and to participate. Otherwise, spend your time creating or go offline, take a break, take a nap, do something completely different. Because if you're going on social media to just read and browse and see what other people are up to, you're probably gonna get either depressed because you're comparing yourself to other people, sidetracked, you're gonna be, you know, following the rabbit hole of the internet and finding all kinds of cool new things that are kind of take you away from your focus and your priorities. So if you're going to go on social media, go and interact with people, participate, reply, answer questions, ask questions, be there and really participate and be active. And that's going to help you grow your social media profiles and also be seen as not just a robot. So for syndication and press, I recommend signing up for Help a Reporter Out. You'll get an email. I think it's a couple times a day you get an email from Harrow, and it's a reporter asking for specific types of people to interview. And so if you want press, that's definitely one of the ways to get it. Definitely just also having more of a PR angle and thinking about press releases and thinking about things in that way, that could also be an entire course. So I'm not going to dive too deeply into press, but that's kind of one aspect of it. In terms of syndication, it's a lot like doing guest posting, except it's more automated and you can leverage existing content so that you don't have to keep writing fresh new stuff. It'll also help you build backlinks to your site, which is helpful for SEO. So there are some drawbacks. So if you know anything about search engines, then you'll know that most search engines don't like duplicate content. So they don't want to have, you know, five different pages that have all the exact content on their results. So what search engines do is that they figure out which is the first site that posted this article or the most authoritative site that posted that article. So it's important to have your article go up first, and then over time you can kind of have other sites post your articles in that way, or you can also have some of your articles that are like slightly edited also go out. So here are a couple places you can look to start syndicating your blog. So alltop.com is one of those places, networkblogs.com, scribnia.com, and then these are just kind of more generic places, but if you want to Google specific places for your industry, I would just Google and find out where to syndicate content for X topic, and I think you'll find a bunch of places. So how this works is it uses your really simple syndication feed, RSS feed, and every single blog on WordPress and most blogs on the web have one of these feeds that you can just go ahead and plop into these different sites and register your site. Another great thing about syndication is looking at online publications and thinking about offering to write a regular column. So you can actually approach all kinds of different sites and become a writer for them. So I recommend obviously choosing a site that has a lot of traffic and that has a lot of clout so that you can really get traffic back to your site. But the idea is that you'll have more of a regular place on those sites so that you're going to get regular traffic back to your site. Step-by-step content channels. So you can actually leverage the content that you've already created by turning it into videos, audios, and ebooks that you're publishing on mega platforms like YouTube, iTunes, and Amazon. So again, with all of these, you want to have a strong call to action with links and a good reason for people to go back to your site. So these channels are really a serious way to tap into new markets. It's fairly easy to get a new YouTube channel going. It's free with Gmail or with any Google account. It's also fairly straightforward to get an iTunes podcast going, and it's free to include on iTunes. You basically just want to record MP3s and upload them to your WordPress blog. And there's a plugin called PodPress, which will help you to set up that whole feed into iTunes section. And then with an Amazon Kindle book, it's a lot like putting together a Word document, and then there are actual tools that you can use to turn that book or that document into an Amazon Kindle format book. And all of these things are free. There's all kinds of resources to actually figure out how to do them. And they do take a little bit more time and effort to set up because, again, you're creating more content. But the benefit is that you're really tapping into new people and getting outside of the bubble. There's also a side benefit to all three of these platforms is that they're searchable. So it's almost like another way of doing SEO for your website, except that you're doing it through your content. So there's something called video search engine optimization, podcast optimization, iTunes for sure. Also Amazon Kindle optimization. You can really optimize the keywords that you're using so that the people who are looking for your content are going to find it on these platforms. And that, again, is something that will really help drive traffic and get more people to your site. Step-by-step advertising. So Facebook ads, in my opinion, are the easiest way to get started, and you can use those to grow your fans and your likes. But what I recommend is to get people to opt in instead of just being a fan by putting a custom tab on your Facebook page with your opt-in code. So there are all kinds of different places that will help you create these tabs. It's a lot like creating a page on your website. You copy and paste code from your email marketing system into these pages, and it's just done using an iframe or an app that will actually help you do that for you. The other thing here is that if you want to have ads, you have to experiment with different headlines, images, and copy to see what people respond to the best so that you're not just, you know, trying one thing and kind of giving up if it doesn't work. What I recommend is tracking your average email subscriber value. So take the number of people on your list and then divide it by the revenue that you have so you know how much you can afford to pay to acquire a new lead. What I don't want to see happen is for you to spend, you know, tens of dollars or, you know, many, many dollars to attract one lead when you're not making enough per lead. In that case, I don't recommend advertising for you because then you're just going to be throwing good money after bad. So know what your numbers are. What are those metrics that you're able to use to advertise with so that it actually makes financial sense for you? Another cool thing about doing Facebook ads is that it can really help you be everywhere at once. And it makes a lot of sense to advertise on Facebook if you're going to be doing a program sale or promotion so that people kind of feel like they see you everywhere. So what's my recommendation? I recommend that you pick two of these different strategies to focus on for the whole year and get really good at them, get results, and don't try anything else before you get those results that you're looking for. So a lot of times we flip between a lot of different ideas and different strategies, but what I really want you to do is get good at two of these things before you add on a third one. You might even start with just one until you get really good at it and then start seeing results before you move on to try something different. So that was all about traffic. Next, we have offers, and you'll see how that works into the traffic getting that we worked on today.